There are nearly 120 senior executive jobs at the State Department considered to be of key importance. All of them require Senate confirmation. But first, the president must choose people to fill these jobs. As of April, that list still falls short by more than 100 names. Robert Ford is the former U.S. ambassador to Syria and deputy ambassador to Iraq. I asked him about the effect of these empty positions and whether he thinks there's a risk that the U.S. will be outpaced by other countries.
Well, I think we're already starting to see that. Countries saying we can't rely on the Americans and therefore we're going to have to work more with ourselves. If the Americans can't do it, then we're going to have to step forward. That's good in one way. That's terrific. But they may reduce American influence. We will pay a price for that.
Ford rattles off examples in Japan, in Europe, and at a United Nations conference on the future of Syria.
The State Department had no high-level representative after the first day of that meeting. And this is talking about Syria, where we have over 1,000 U.S. combat forces about to be engaged. We have daily U.S. Air Force bombing missions, drone missions. Wouldn't you think you'd want the State Department engaged at a high level about the political future of a country like that?
Despite any rumors, Ford doesn't believe the State Department will be left without senior staff long term.
Because if they do that, they will find that they have lots of career government employees, but they have no one to lead them, and certainly no one who would report back to the president directly.
He says that doesn't match up with Trump's campaign promises.
If the purpose was to drain the swamp, to use the expression from the Trump campaign, then you wouldn't leave the creatures who have populated the swamps, the people in the bureaucracies, to run themselves. That wasn't the purpose either.
These days, Ford is a senior fellow at the Middle East Institute, a nonpartisan think tank. I ask what's known about Trump's Middle East policy and how it differs from that of the last few presidents.
We still don't have people to manage Middle East policy. The old ones from the Obama administration left in January. Not only have they not been replaced, but we don't even have names to go before the Senate for confirmation.
Matt Lee covers diplomacy for the Associated Press. I ask him the same question as he stands outside the State Department.
We don't know a lot yet because, as with a lot of other things, this policy is under review. What we do know, though, is that the center of Mideast diplomacy for the United States has shifted from the State Department to the White House.
It's been slowly moving in that direction over several presidencies. This shift is important, but not entirely new. Periods of low morale also happen. The work of former Secretary of State Colin Powell to boost morale in early 2001 is well documented. But a Secretary of State defending proposed cuts to the agency's budget, that is new. Secretary Tillerson is embracing the idea of cutting the State Department's budget. Matt Lee.
In a sharp shift from previous efforts to cut the budget, we may see Congress adding more money, more than perhaps the Secretary of State wants.
Trump's proposed budget is likely dead on arrival should it be sent to Congress. Equally clear is where Secretary of Defense James Mattis stands on this.
If you don't fund the State Department fully, then I need to buy more ammunition, ultimately. So I think it's a cost-benefit ratio. The more that we put into the State Department's diplomacy, hopefully the less we have to put into a military budget.
That's Mattis testifying in 2013 before Congress as commander of CENTCOM, or U.S. Central Command. The working relationship between the secretaries of defense and state is critical, and the current chiefs may have one of the best relationships in recent memory. But these men cannot run massive agencies alone. Max Dyer is an expert on government staffing and presidential transitions. He's the president and CEO of the nonpartisan Partnership for Public Service. Steyer says the empty positions don't equal empty chairs. Existing staff fill the roles on a temporary basis. But there are consequences.
It's a little bit like the substitute teacher. They may be an excellent educator, but the fact that they're temporary, that they're the substitute teacher, means that they're not perceived as having real authority, and they themselves don't look at the long-term requirements of the job that they're performing.
Steyer says that has any number of implications for their work.
Also, it means that the White House ends up playing a bigger role and typically a less well-informed role than would exist if you had the agencies that are most involved in national security and in foreign affairs better represented at the table.
Capacity is another issue. He says the White House simply isn't large enough to handle the sheer volume and diversity of issues that come up every day.
Decisions don't get made in real time. Little problems blossom into big ones before they're actually addressed. And they can't be addressed because there's just not the capacity until they're urgent enough that they have to be. Many of these issues could be addressed without them becoming urgent if you get to them fast enough.
But that doesn't mean Steyer believes all of the politically appointed positions at state must be filled.
There are some deputy assistant secretary positions that sit on top of office heads, and it's a one-to-one ratio. And that raises the question about why you have at least one of those layers. You could get rid of one of them without any problem to your function, and you would improve communication.
He also doesn't believe people must have government experience to do these jobs well. He says Secretary Tillerson is a prime example.
He's the only member of the cabinet that ran a larger organization in his prior job, running ExxonMobil, than he is doing in government. In almost all circumstances, those that are going into government are walking into a scale that they've never experienced before. Not so here.
And he thinks Tillerson has many of the right skills and experiences to succeed at state.
He is quite familiar with challenges of negotiation, the competing interests that are involved in resolving international disputes.
The AP's Matt Lee says Tillerson's experience may be why he's able to stand behind cutting the budget, because he can think organizationally on that scale. But while resources, policies, and staffing plans are under review, leaders here and abroad are growing impatient for details, including about how the administration plans to deal with ISIS.
ISIS presents an ongoing challenge to our collective security. But as we have seen, it is not more powerful than we are when we stand together.
That's Secretary Tillerson at an anti-ISIS conference he hosted with diplomats from 68 nations.
We must thwart ISIS as it tries to maintain a presence on the ground and in cyberspace. We must enhance cooperation in border security, aviation security, law enforcement, financial sanctions, counter-messaging, and intelligence sharing. And we must keep making the investment in liberated areas in Iraq and Syria to help innocent people rebuild and stabilize their communities.
Reaction includes a mix of relief and frustration. Relief that policies viewed largely as working seem likely to continue, and frustration at what some say are a lack of specifics, namely for what happens after coalition forces take ISIS strongholds.
Any good American military commander knows that there's got to be a plan for what happens after ISIS. But if you ask what's the plan for government and management of local infrastructure, schools, water, hospitals, electricity, they don't have an answer.
That's retired U.S. Ambassador to Syria, Robert Ford.
The Islamic State has been in full retreat now for more than a year.
Ford believes if these areas are left with humanitarian crises and a political vacuum, the coalition could find itself unable to withdraw or facing a retooled ISIS a few years later. He says that's where the State Department comes in, but it requires senior staff, detailed policy, and resources. For America Abroad, I'm Jennifer Strong.